Good to be with you. Hey, if you're just joining us, we're spending the first 4 weeks of this year in a series called Getting Past Your Past. If you weren't with us last week, you might be saying, you know, it's kind of odd to talk about our past when we're in the new year. But in my experience as a person and as a pastor, I think it's oftentimes the things from our past that actually keep us from experiencing things like peace and joy and wholeness and freedom today and for the future. And so what we're doing over the course of these weeks is we're talking about things like forgiveness. Today we'll be talking about what does it look for like for you and I to actually go to someone who's hurt us and to forgive them, right? And so what does the Bible say about that? Next week we're going to flip that and say, well, what does it look like for you and I to go to someone who we've injured or hurt or offended and to seek forgiveness from them and to begin a process of restoration in that relationship? And we'll be talking about by the time this series is done, what it looks like for us to go to our past and past mistakes, past sinfulness, past habits or lifestyle, and to actually begin to deal with God and begin to wrestle with Him and really enable His grace to begin to go to work in our lives so that we can even receive freedom from the things of our past that are still holding us back. And I want to tell you, you know, we've been praying over this series a lot. And I believe, and I've already had a lot of conversations with many of you over the course of our weekend and last weekend, and I believe that God will use this series as a milestone in many of our lives that we look back on and say, you know what, that was a season where God began to free me from chains of the past, whether it was labels in which I saw myself that now I see myself in a new God-centered way and the way that He sees me because of Christ, whether a relationship is restored, because of what I begin to put into practice here. Some of us will, for the first time, begin to actually not only see but experience God's grace pressing into the nooks and crannies of our hearts. And that's my prayer, that we would look back on this as a season where God begins to move in a fresh way in our lives. And so what I want to talk about today is about forgiveness. I've already shared with you about what it looks like for you and I to actually go and forgive those who have wounded or hurt us. You know, if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you have been wounded? And don't raise your hand on this one, but how many of you have been hurt by someone else? Listen, if you're older than 3 or 4, we would say yes, somebody has hurt me at some point in my life. But what I've found is that there's a broad spectrum of hurt, right? When we say yes, I've been hurt. There's some of us for whom there was a misunderstanding or miscommunication in a relationship, but our spiritual enemy used that to drive a wedge between us of deep suspicion and mistrust. And so what was a miscommunication or misunderstanding has really ripped apart a relationship for years and years. And so there's one end of the spectrum that started that way. And then there's another end of the spectrum that there are many of us in here today who have been rejected by someone or who have been lied to by a person, who've been betrayed by a close family member or friend. Some of us have been wounded physically, emotionally, sexually, and so there's this end of the spectrum, and so there's this very wide spectrum when it comes to talking about injury and hurt. And not only are there varying degrees of hurt, but I think there are varying degrees of ways that you and I respond to those hurts. So this morning, you know what, there are some of us who are holding these hurts very close to our heart. And we have been for many, many years. And so if this is true of you, even the idea of forgiveness is something that you balk at. You don't want anything to do with. And so today, as I say, hey, we're going to talk about forgiveness, there's something that just kind of stings in your soul. Then there are others of us in the room that we've been wounded, but we've managed to press those wounds down to the bottom of our heart, and we can actually live as if they don't exist for a while. Because you see, on the outside, well, it appears to, you know, most people that nothing is wrong. Those who are closest to us know that something is. And here's the reality. A friend shared with me many years ago when I was going through a season of anger at a variety of things. He said, listen, when you get angry in the home, and I was struggling in the home with getting angry with my children and snapping off, you know, kind of in the handle against to Beth. And he said, when you're getting angry, all that's happening in that moment is someone's bumping up against you and spilling out what's already there. The reality is some of us spill out at the times when we least expect it. We run into someone at the store. Someone's face or name comes to mind. There's something that reminds us of something from the past. And all it takes is for someone to bump up against us, and we spill out in anger, frustration, anxiety, restlessness toward them. But they're not the culprit, right? They're not the true offender. It's the one from our past who has. And so there's some of us this morning who have pressed those wounds deep. But listen, here's my prayer for you. Whether the wounds are close to your heart this morning or pressed deep down in your heart, My prayer is that God would graciously enable those hurts to begin to surface in our lives this morning so that He can help us to begin to take steps toward forgiveness and freedom, okay? That's my prayer. Now, here's the reality. Anytime we talk about something as sensitive or personal as forgiveness, there are inevitably going to be some of you in the room who say, Jake, you just don't know what this person did to me. You have no idea how greatly they offended me or wounded me. You have no idea the wounds that I've been living with. Do you think or expect that I should actually forgive them? And to respond to you, I draw up something that C.S. Lewis said back in the 1940s when he was writing a number of BBC broadcasts, and those actually turned into essays that then got into his books that you and I might read today. But one of those essays, he wrote often about forgiveness, and one of them landed in Mere Christianity. And in it, he said this about forgiveness. He said, you know what? Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea. That is, until they have something to forgive. Isn't that true? As we had during the war, he says, and then to mention the subject at all is to be greeted with howls of anger. He writes, it's not that people think this too high and difficult a virtue, it's that they think it hateful and contemptible. That sort of talk makes them sick, and they say, and half of you already want me to say, and you can fill in the blank with your own story. I wonder how you'd feel about forgiving the Gestapo if you were a Pole or a Jew. And then Lewis writes this. He says, so do I. I wonder very much. Listen, the truth is this morning, like Lewis says, I do not know what someone did to you. I have no idea. I have no idea what I would do if I were in your shoes this morning. Listen, you might have been mistreated by a child, when you were a child and your parent mistreated you, or as a parent, you might be being mistreated by one of your children. It's possible that a business partner might have wronged you, or you're still aching over your spouse's sexual past. It's possible that something that they were involved in or did before you got married continues to haunt you, and the memories and the ideas and the feelings are still very real, and you're having a difficult time forgiving them. Or it might be possible that one of the spouses has actually abandoned the marriage covenant in the context of your marriage right now. So they rejected you, they walked away, they hurt you. That's a very real thing this morning some of us are walking through. I have no idea what's happened in your life, nor what I would do if I were in your shoes. So what I want to acknowledge very honestly is that I don't know what your hurt is. However, here's what I do know. I do know that there are a lot of terrible and heartbreaking things going on today. And I also know what it's like personally to be wounded and mistreated and to hold on to those hurts for a very long time, which is why in these next few moments, my hope, as I already said, is that God will begin to surface these things in our lives so we can begin to take steps toward freedom and forgiveness. Well, how do we begin to do that? How do we do that? Well, first, some of you might be asking the question, why? You know what? Why would I actually forgive? And what I want to begin our time doing is giving you two reasons, okay, if you're taking notes, two reasons why we should actually forgive people in our lives, which is what some of us are asking. Here we go. Two reasons why we should forgive. Number one, because unforgiveness hurts you. And it hurts me. Unforgiveness hurts me. The writer in Hebrews chapter 12, he wrote this. He said, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Notice what the writer says. He says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up in you, because when it does, it's not only going to corrupt your life, it's going to corrupt people around you. And the truth is that some of us have been living with a poisonous root of bitterness that stems from past hurt. And not only is it ruining us, but it's starting to affect the people around us as well. You say, well, how do I know if there's a poisonous root of bitterness alive in my life? Well, if you go to the scriptures, they say very clearly that love does not keep a record of wrongs. But bitterness, on the other hand, does keep a record of wrongs. And so this morning, if when you think of a name or a face or a person you're living with, or your spouse, or a friend that you haven't seen in years, or a business partner that you used to do business with, and when their face or name comes to mind, all that you can think of is what they did to you or what they didn't do for you, what they said to you or what they didn't say to you, actions from the past. And when that occurs, in your life come up all of these feelings of restlessness or anxiety or anger or frustration, if that's what happens to you and you just begin to well, all of the emotion in you begins to well up, then it's possible that you've been holding on to something that without you realizing it has begun to poison your life emotionally, psychologically, relationally, even in our relationship with God. This affects us because bitterness is like a cancer to the soul, and in all of these unseen ways, it shapes us. And I've seen this in my own life. When I have harbored unforgiveness, I have found that I cannot get that person out of my mind. They haunt me. I don't know if you're like this. I wake up in the morning thinking about them. I go to bed at night thinking about them. I have no peace in my life as a result. And most often, it's because I have not begun to wrestle with the very idea of forgiveness. This is why Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, listen, don't sin by letting anger control you. And he says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, I want you to notice what he didn't write. Paul did not say, don't be angry, did he? The reality is that when you're offended or wounded or hurt, anger is a natural response to that because, as I'll speak of in a minute, justice is written across the streams of our heart. However, what Paul is saying is when you are angry, begin to wrestle with that in a biblical way, according to the scriptures, because if not, you're going to go to bed on that anger, which means you're going to let time pass. And as time passes, Satan, our enemy, has a way of wedging that into our heart where it begins to take root. And out of that root, out of that ground grows bitterness. And unforgiveness will literally, over time, eat you alive, which is why author Anne Lamott said this. She said, forgiveness, I'll find it in my notes. She did say it. I assure you, she said it. She said it. Where is it? She said it. She said it. Is it up there? Unforgiveness. There we go. It's like it loses a bit of its punch, but follow along. Unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison, listen, and hoping it kills the other person. It's true. When we don't forgive, it's like drinking poison, but really in our minds, we think that we're hurting the other person by withholding for forgiveness. So why should we forgive? Well, I think it begins with a basic and self-interested reason. And you know what? Sometimes, even in the scriptures, it says, act out of what's good for you. Because in acting out of what's good for you, you're actually able to do good for others. Listen, that's why he warns us. Don't withhold forgiveness because it will poison you. So listen, forgive. That's one reason. But let me give you a second reason. Let me give you a second reason why we should forgive. And here it is. Because we will need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says something startling to us. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, some of you are going to immediately say, Mullinex, you know what? You tell us every week that the forgiveness of God is not conditional upon what we do to other people. And I would say, well, in part, yes, that's true. But Jesus is getting at something here, and he's wanting to wrestle with this truth that what we do with forgiveness in our lives that God has extended to us will either open our hearts or close our hearts toward the ongoing mercy of God in our lives. Not only that, but whether you become a person who forgives becomes indicative of whether forgiveness has actually made its way into the crevices of your heart. Now, to bring this to life, Jesus tells us a helpful parable in Matthew chapter 18. And whether or not you're familiar with this parable, I'll share it with you. In the parable, there's a master, and he has a servant. And his servant owes him 10,000 talents. And if you press into the number, the numerical value of that is something like, you know, $60 million. And it would have taken him some 60 million days of work to repay this debt. So it would have taken, if you add this up, it would have taken this guy somewhere around 2,000 lifetimes to pay off this debt. You thought you had debt. You know, you come in today, you need Financial Peace University. This guy had debt, okay? Now, Jesus' point isn't that this guy has a chance to pay off debt, okay? Jesus is telling a story to elaborate a problem to teach us the truth. And here's his point, that it didn't matter how many lifetimes this guy had, and it didn't matter how much money he made, there was no chance he was going to be able to repay this debt. Okay, so Jesus goes on. And he tells a story, and in the story, the servant comes to his master, and he begs him for mercy, and the master actually shows him mercy, and this man went home a free man, which you say, well, that's a great story. He goes home a free man, except for Jesus' story doesn't end there. This man goes to his little town, and he finds his own servant who owes him 100 denarii, which is like 2.5 months worth of wages. He grabs his servant by the throat and demands payment. And even though his servant, in the same way that he had, begs for mercy, he throws him in the dungeon until his debt's able to be repaid in full. Now listen, when the original master finds out about this, Jesus says that he's irate. And look at the text and what Jesus says. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven, and he said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Now here's Jesus' point in verse 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. You say, well, that's intense. Notice here that Jesus is speaking to people who refuse to forgive. That means to people this morning who say, there is no way I'm going to even consider offering forgiveness to this or that person in my life. And he's saying, listen, if you live that way, your heart will become so tied up and torn up that there's no way that God's grace has any room to move in your life. And what's it mean to refuse to forgive? Because I would guess that the majority of us in here this morning are saying, no, I don't refuse to forgive. I'm not going to refuse to forgive this person. But let me tell you two practical ways that we actually refuse to forgive people in our lives. You know, when someone hurts you, they take something from you, right? Emotionally, relationally, physically, financially. And the moment they take something from you, a reputation, an opportunity, your joy or peace, when they take this from you, a debt is incurred. And as I said earlier, our natural reaction when a debt is incurred is to get even, right? It's not to forgive. Our natural reaction when something takes something from us is to take something from them, right? It's true. And so here's two ways that we refuse to forgive. Sometimes we refuse to forgive by hitting back, don't we? You hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. You take something from me, so I'm going to take something from you. You said this about me, but you just wait until you hear what I say about you. And so we find a way to get back by hitting back. But I find that most of the time with the people that I spend time around, we don't so much hit back, but we pull back. You can refuse to forgive someone by hitting back or striking back, but you can also refuse to forgive them by pulling back. You see, some relationships end in fist fights and shouting matches, don't they? And when they end that way, and some of us grew up in those kind of homes, it's terrible. But oftentimes, relationships end not because they end in a fist fight, right, but because they grow cold. And so while some of us grew up in a home where there was shouting, and it was intense, and people hurt one another physically, the majority of us in here grew up in homes where people were cold toward one another. They said, "You hurt me, so I'm not going to speak to you any longer." Or, "You hurt me, so I'm going to withdraw emotionally." Or, "You hurt me, so I'm not going to come around anymore and you won't see me any longer," right? So some of us grew up in homes where people hit back, but many of us grew up in homes where people draw back or pull back. You know, the truth is, for many of us in the room today, perhaps for some of us, this is where our marriages have been or are. And if you notice that your marriage is cold, the chance is because one or more partners have begun to pull back from one another because there are offenses in your relationship that have not been forgiven. And the more that unforgiveness is harbored, the more that bitterness grows. And the more bitterness grows, the more it drives a wedge between you to where you no longer connect on a meaningful heart level. So when we refuse to forgive, sometimes it's not just saying to a person, "No, I'm not going to forgive you." Sometimes we actually hit back, but sometimes we pull back. And both are ways to say, "I'm not going to forgive you. You're either going to get my cold shoulder or you're going to feel my wrath." And Jesus is saying to us, listen, it's possible today that there are some of us who have never tasted the sweetness of God's mercy. Or there are some of us this morning who have not tasted the sweetness of God's mercy for a long, long time because we've been denying forgiveness to a person in our life by hitting or pulling back. And listen, to deny them forgiveness is to literally build a barrier between you and God. That's Jesus' point. Now, if this is true of you this morning, you say, yeah, it's true of me. There's a person I'm refusing to forgive. I believe there's incredible hope for us. But if we're being honest, most of us are going to ask this question at some point, right? We're going to say, well, how do I forgive? I mean, even if I were to want to forgive this person, how do I actually get the desire to forgive? Or how do I move to forgive someone who's hurt me or taken something from me? How do we do it? Let me give you two ways that we go about forgiving from Scripture the people who have hurt us in our lives. Two ways. Number one, ways that we go about forgiving people who have hurt us. Number one, start by praying for those that hurt you. Number one, start by praying for those that hurt you. Now listen, what I don't mean is pray that they'll get what's coming to them, right? I don't mean like lightning, boom, you would solve my problem, God, okay? It's not what I'm talking about. Something completely different. Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you have heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. And then what does he say? And pray for those who persecute you. You know what Jesus is saying? It's very natural for you and I to love those who love us and to hate those who hurt us. In fact, the Romans who would have been listening to Jesus actually worshiped the god of revenge, Nemesis. And so it was estimable in their society to get back at people who had injured them. The Jews, furthermore, taught an eye for an eye. You know, if someone cuts off your arm, you cut off theirs. So what Jesus says is completely different and shocking. He says, listen, love your enemies. And one of the most practical ways you begin to do that is to pray for those who persecute you. And for the record, Jesus is not talking about some kind of like junior varsity persecution. So he's not like, hey, when you leave today, if someone gives you the bird as you're leaving the parking lot, just pray for them. Although pray for them, that's fine. He's talking about intense levels of wounds and offense. Jesus is speaking to men and women who will actually give their lives and go to the gallows and go to crucifixion and have their throats slit for being loyal and loving him to the death. And he's saying, listen, when your very people take your life or persecute you, pray for them and love them. Now, why should we pray for those who have hurt us? Because it might sound crazy to you. I've found that most often in my life, it takes right actions to trigger right feelings. That sometimes the decision to do what is right and to be obedient to Jesus has to come first, because truthfully, listen, if you wait for the desire to forgive the person who hurt you, the desire will never come, okay? You're not going to wake up on Monday morning being like, boom, you know, I feel like forgiving this person. It most likely will not happen, which is why Jesus says, listen, begin to pray for them. Begin to reach out to them in love. And he doesn't speak at all of feelings. Listen, if you start praying, the desire will oftentimes follow the action. Not too long after Beth and I moved here, God began to take me through a series of relationships of people, both who had wounded me and I had harbored unforgiveness, or of people who I had wounded and I needed to go and pursue forgiveness from. And one of those individuals was a guy by the name of Mike, and I can say his name because I'll share our relationship has really, in many ways, been restored. But Mike was the pastor of the church that I first served at right out of college. It was awful. Worst 2 years of my life, really, in ministry. Because of those 2 years, I left ministry for 2 years. For the next 2 years, I questioned whether or not I would actually do this with my life. And then Beth and I, we ended up moving to St. Louis, and I took a church there and was leading there. And then we moved here to New England in 2006. And during that time, I thought I had dealt in many ways with my past. But early when we moved here on, God began to press on me a variety of names. And one of those names was Mike. The sweet thing was I had an excuse. I didn't know how to get in touch with him. So I just continued to press it down. And we do that all the time, right? I have no idea where this person is. Come to find out, with technology, you can find just about anyone. And so God just continued to press, find him, and forgive him, and let him know that you have. And so I looked online, and in just a matter of seconds, I found him, and I found his address, and I wrote him a letter. And in the letter, I was very honest about the ways that he had hurt me. In a gracious way, I said, here's what's happened in the past, and I just want you to know I've been living with this hurt for quite a while, but I want you to know that my desire is to forgive you. I've been praying over this, and I just want you to know that I do forgive you, and I care about your family, and I want to hear what's going on. And you know what's sweet is for the next 6 years, I didn't hear a word back from him until 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I decided in preparation for this message, I thought, you know, I'm just going to reach out to him again. And 2 days ago, I sent him an email, and within an hour, I got an email back from him, and we exchanged a real kind of cordial and I think loving reply where we shared a little bit about our families and shared that we're praying for one another. And you know what happened over the last 6 years, regardless of that email exchange that happened 2 days ago, is God began to release in me what I had held on to for years. And you know what's interesting is Mike was just like the cork in the bottle. The moment that that came out, all of these other names and experiences and wounds, not only of people who had hurt me, but people I had hurt, began to come to the surface. And what I have found is that oftentimes underneath our greatest injury lie all of these other injuries that create sort of an iceberg effect. And once we begin to work through and process the ones that we see, God unearths the ones that are unseen and gets to the heart of hearts and the things that are really stirring up and causing a lot of pain in our lives. And I'll tell you what's happened. God not only released my heart, but what he showed me from that process was that my prayers may not always change other people, but they always have a way of changing me. And sometimes I think that's God's work in this, is he's working to shape you. So begin by praying for them. And as you do, he will work in you. So ask God this morning, say, God, give me a desire to forgive. God, begin a process of forgiveness in my life and in my heart. And for some of you, it might happen like a switch. And for some of you, it's going to be a very, very long process of God working in you toward forgiveness and freedom. Now, a small caveat on this, okay? There are some of us over the course of the weekend who might say, you know what, Jed, I'm in more of an abusive relationship. So are you telling me that if I'm being abused that I need to forgive someone and continue to live with them? And here's what I would say to you. Forgiving someone is never allowing them to continue hurting you, okay? So if you're in an abusive situation, you need to get out of that and get to safety so that you can, with time, then find help and healing and then forgive them from a distance. So you grab a friend, okay? You come to us. Listen, we've got guys here who are just new Christians and they'll do anything for $50 and we'll send them over to your house, okay? Listen, for real. I'm just partially joking on this. If you need $50, you catch me afterwards, okay? But seriously, if you're being wounded in the process, you may need to step out. You may need to step out of a relationship. You might need to temporarily end a relationship. You might need to draw strong boundaries in your life. But begin by praying for that person, even this morning. Second way that we forgive, and finally, is this. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you've been forgiven. As you move to forgive someone, don't start by asking the question, how could I ever possibly forgive? First ask the question, how have I been forgiven? In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus tells that story about the talents, do you realize that that story is actually about you and about me? Do you realize that the man in this story who owes the unimaginable sum, Jesus' point is that that is you and me and the debt that we owe to God. Do you realize that even if you and I had 2,000 lifetimes and all of the money in the world, that you and I could never repay our debt to God? And yet the Bible says that because of our sin, we're indebted to him. This morning, God made you to know and to love and to honor him and to esteem him and to enjoy him with your whole life. But the reality is that we haven't done that, have we? We've honored ourselves. We've loved things other than God. Rather than loving our neighbor, we've wounded them. Rather than honoring our spouse, we've offended them. Rather than serving our neighbor, we've stepped all over them. And the reality is that we've driven a chasm in between God's design for our world and our lives and the reality of how we're living today with our sin. And yet God could have done a number of things. Don't you see the gospel says this? God could have hit you back and me back. He could have actually smited us with his wrath. And you and I could be sitting here today without hope, never having a chance to know or to relate to God ever again. But he didn't hit us back, did he? You know what else God could have done? He could have pulled back from us. He might not have hit back, but he could have drawn back from us and become very cold toward us. But God doesn't do that, does he? He draws near to us. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God sent his son to come and live a perfectly obedient life, even to death on a cross. And Jesus went to the cross, and there he willingly took the full wrath of God's justice that you and I deserve. Jesus died for our sin so that you can receive his mercy. He took the full weight of God's wrath so that you can be forgiven and called a child, son, daughter, forgiven, free, holy, blameless, my child, heir of Christ. And he could have hit back or pulled back, but he drew near. And C.S. Lewis writes about this, and he says, you know what? Real forgiveness means looking steadily at the sin that is left over without any excuse. After all allowances have been made and seeing it, this is what forgiveness is. We see sin in all of its horror, its dirt, its meanness and malice, and nevertheless, being wholly reconciled to the man who has done it. Because to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable. Why? Because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And when you begin to see the truth that God has forgiven the inexcusable in your life, listen, when that truth begins to make its way into the nooks and crannies of your heart, you will begin to become a person who sees sin in all of its horror, malice, meanness, and filth, and yet you can move to become wholly reconciled to that person because you and I have been forgiven the inexcusable. The debt you owe God has already been paid. And the debt that that person owes you has already been paid in Christ. Listen this morning. As you move to forgive, please hear me as I close. Some of you are not walking in a relationship with Jesus. And if you're struggling, you're saying, Jed, how do I actually even begin to do this? Don't start by trying to forgive. Hear me on this. Don't start by trying to forgive. Start by coming to Jesus and receiving his forgiveness. Say, God, please accept me on the basis of what Jesus has done for me. In 1 John, it says that when we come to God honestly confessing our sin, he forgives us and heals us of all unrighteousness and wickedness. And the reality is that today that some of us need to start by coming to Christ and accessing a very real forgiveness in our lives so that we can be shaped to be people who forgive. And if that's something you're interested in, you know what, on our connection card, we have a place where it simply says, I want to talk with someone about Jesus, and we'd love to have that conversation with you. Write that down and tear it off. But listen, some of you are walking in a relationship with Jesus this morning, and you're having a hard time forgiving a person. Listen, hear me on this. Don't leave the room today muscling down, trying to forgive, kind of with all the energy in you saying, you know what, finally I'm going to forgive. Don't do that. Start by coming to Jesus and first setting your eyes on his mercy and worshiping him for his mercy in your life. And then ask him to give you his heart that is merciful and compassionate and forgiving. It's what Paul says in Colossians 3, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Listen, forgiven people forgive people. And the moment Christ's forgiveness resonates with the depths of your heart, you will become a person who forgives. I don't know what your next step is today. What I do know is there's a name or a face in your mind. There's a relationship that's broken this morning, isn't there? There's a person you haven't talked to in days, weeks, months, years. There's a letter to be written. There's a phone call to be made. There's a face-to-face to be had. There's a boundary to be drawn. There's prayer to be had today as we leave this place and say, God, please begin to restore what has been broken by sin, but Jesus, what you have come to repair, will you do it? And so let's pray over that right now, God, that God, you would really open up in our hearts by your mercy and by your presence in us the capacity to forgive. Jesus, we, just in this moment, we acknowledge our depth of need for you. if we're being honest this morning, we acknowledge that we have sinned. We've walked away from you. We've loved things other than you. And yet, Jesus, you didn't withdraw from us. You didn't hit us back. You came for us. And you gave us a mercy that we neither deserved nor even asked for. And you begin to press into our hearts a desire for you. And by your grace, you've drawn us to you. And you've given us new hearts. You've made us new, Lord. And now this morning, we know that because you're pressing into our hearts a desire to forgive. Many of us this morning have been holding on to grudges, onto heartache, onto bitterness, onto anger for something that's happened in the past. And in reality, we're the ones who have been paying the price. And I want to pray this morning that you would begin to free us. There are some people in our lives that this morning, if you would have said you will forgive this person, we would have said never. Never will I forgive them for what they took from me. And yet, Jesus, we know it's by your power and your mercy at work in us that this today we can say, yes, it's possible. Maybe if you'll do this in me, yes, I'll forgive. God, will you lead us down that path and through that process of forgiving? Create your heart in us, Lord, we pray. And as you do that, and as you restore relationships and you restore our hearts, we pray that you would be honored in us and you would give us a story to tell of your goodness. Lord, it's in your name, Jesus, we pray, because you're great. Amen. Amen. Amen.